Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. So says Jesus in our gospel reading for today. And these are famous words. From this statement of Jesus, people often talk about how we as Christians are to relate to government. That we are to render to Caesar, meaning the government, the things that are theirs, and then to God the things that are God's. And so it's helpful then, as we hear this, to reflect on the fourth commandment. I left the catechism, the small catechism, a copy of it, next to your bulletins. And if you have that, then I encourage you to turn to page 9 in there. If not, if you do not have it, then listen. This should be familiar to you from confirmation. But on page 9, there you see the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment says, honor your father and your mother. And this doesn't say in the text of the fourth commandment itself anything about government per se. But Luther, in his explanation, expounds on that and points out that these authorities that we are to honor, here our father and our mother, also remind us that we are to honor other authorities, which are spoken of in other places in Scripture. And so he goes on and he says in his explanation, what does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. So we are to not only honor our father and our mother, that first government that God gave all of us, but we are to honor also other authorities that have been put in place to govern all the families of the earth so that we all can live in harmony and peace. We are to honor them, serve and obey them, love and even cherish them. No matter who they are, no matter their political affiliation, no matter their party, we are to, if they are elected and if they have been put into place or appointed, we are to honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. And why is that? Why is it that we are to honor these authorities? Well, there we can go to other parts of Scripture. And in your catechism, we have a section of the catechism that speaks of our duty to government in the table of duties on page 32 of the catechism that I handed out. Pages 32 and 33 there give us a portion of the table of duties. In this table of duties, I encourage you to look at it when you go home. You can see that God gives us commands from Scripture. And really, this table of duties is all just quotes from the Bible, arranged according to our jobs, the jobs that we have in life. You can go there to see, what is my job? What does God say I'm supposed to do as a father or mother, as a son or daughter, as a husband or wife, as a member of a congregation or as a pastor, or as those who are in government and those who are governed? And we need to pay attention to this whole section on governed and being governed, because we are those who in some small way actually govern, as well as we are governed by others. Because here in this country, we elect our leaders. In our Constitution, it says, we the people of the United States of America. We have some part in our government. And we played that part earlier this month when we went to the polls and voted. And so we need to pay attention then to what is the role of government as we elect our leaders and play a role in government and even sometimes make decisions about what amendments should be made to constitutions and so on. And here on pages 32 and 33 in the table of duties, we hear then from Romans chapter 13, quoting from there, in Of Civil Government, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. In the first two verses, we hear about our role as those who are being governed, that we are to submit to the governing authorities. And why are we to do that? Because they are those whom God has set into place. He is the one who has established earthly authority, and that's why we are supposed to listen to it. Not because they are so great in and of themselves, but rather because they have been put into place by God to give us peace and order here in our earthly lives, so that we can live in harmony with one another here in the political realm. And what are they supposed to be doing? Well, in verses 3 and 4 of what I just read, it says that they hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. They're supposed to punish those who do wrong, and they're supposed to protect those who do right, and not punish those who do right. They are also, in verse 4, God's servant to do us good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. They bring God's punishment on the wrongdoer. Whether they believe in or acknowledge God or not, they are tools of God that God uses to bring peace, to punish evil, and to not punish those who do good. So we are to obey the governing authorities. No matter whether we like them or not, we are to obey them. God has put them in place. But what happens if the government tells us to do something that is wrong? What if the government tells us to do something that is contrary to God's word, commands us to actually do evil? Well, we have a helpful example of this in the Bible in Acts chapter 5. The apostles are told not to speak in the name of Jesus, but they do anyway. And they are reprimanded for it by some of the governing authorities. And they respond, not with an apology, "Oh, we should obey you and do whatever you say," but rather they say, "We must obey God rather than men." Because since God is the one who is set above all earthly authority, he is the one who is above all of it, and he is the one who puts earthly authority here in place, then he's the one who's in charge. And if they overstep their bounds, and if they command us to do something that is contrary to the word of God, then we can't obey it. We cannot do evil then. The apostles then could not stop speaking in the name of Jesus. And the same is true today, when in modern times people have been told to do evil, whether in Nazi Germany, or whether they've been told that they cannot be faithful Christians in other countries, when they cannot gather as Christians and hear God's word, when they cannot teach and preach the word of God, they must disobey what the government says in those cases, because they must follow God's word over and above even what these men say. So we see, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. When Jesus says this, we are to obey the governing authorities. But then Jesus doesn't just stop there when he responds and gives this answer to this question about paying taxes. He doesn't just say, therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But then he goes on and says, and to God the things that are God's. So hearing that, we might say, well, what things are Caesar's and what things are God's? We'll give to Caesar, to the government, what is the government's, and we'll give to God what is God's. But wait a minute. Let's look at the things that are Caesar's. Even perhaps that coin that was held up when Jesus asked, bring forth the coin for the tax. And they held up the denarius, and he said, whose image and inscription is on it? And they said, Caesar's. Well, even that coin that had Caesar's picture imprinted on it and had an inscription that said, Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus, and said, high priest, a pretty arrogant claim for Caesar to be making, to be saying that he is almost godlike. That coin was made by things that are God's, by the raw materials that God made. They were made by hands that God had made. That coin was thought of. The idea of currency was thought of by minds that God made. So really, in what sense is it really Caesar's alone? And actually, when we say render to God the things that are God's, that everything is God's. In fact, Scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to our Lord. And we, merely here on this earth, during the time that we are here, take the things that God has given us and we make things out of them. God gives us the ability to do it. And he, through our hands and through other people, provides for us what we need for this earthly life. But ultimately, it is all his. And we are merely stewards of it. We're merely taking care of it for the present time. But it all belongs to God. So, what does it look like then to give to God the things that are God's? Well, we acknowledge that he is the giver of all of these things, that he has given all of them to us. And what God wants from us is he wants us, as those who've been created by him, who should belong to him, that we receive his gifts and his benefits. That we be made new and be made back into the image of Christ. You see, on that coin there was an image of Caesar that he put on there. But we as Christians, even while we pay taxes, and give money to government and acknowledge that God has put this in place and receive government as a good gift, we have a higher authority. We are part of another kingdom, even though we live in this kingdom. And in that kingdom, we are being made new, being made into the image of Christ. We have his image imprinted upon us as we are new creatures in Christ. We have been buried in baptism and raised to new life. We have been marked as those who belong to Jesus. In fact, we remembered that this morning when we made the sign of the cross and we said in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we remembered that God had put his mark upon us and said that we belong to him. And he did that first in our baptism when he marked us as his own and made us new creatures in Christ. And so while we live here under the authorities that God has given, we receive them as good gifts of God for this earthly life. But we remember that we belong to God who gave even this authority and who gives us all things. We belong to him because of the death of Jesus on the cross for us, who has forgiven us our sins. And we pray in the Lord's Prayer that this kingdom, his kingdom, would come. No matter what happens in the earthly kingdom, in the earthly realm, whatever it is, we pray that this kingdom, the kingdom of God, would come. And how does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when he gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. We ask God to give us his Holy Spirit, and where does he give us his Holy Spirit? Here in the Lord's Supper, here in baptism, he gave us his Holy Spirit, and in the Lord's Supper, his Holy Spirit works. In the preached word, his Holy Spirit works. In the absolution, his Holy Spirit works. So that we believe his holy word and continue and remain in his kingdom and do not fall away from that kingdom. This is what we pray for. Whatever happens in the earthly kingdom, however things are going there, we pray for those leaders. We render to them what they ask for. We obey the laws that they give us, as long as they do not contradict God's law. But our ultimate authority above and over all of that, and our ultimate hope, and what we pray for is not that these kingdoms would come now, because they will pass away. But what we pray for is that God's kingdom would come, that we would remain in him and continue to believe in him and would not fall away, and that finally we would see this kingdom in all its glory. We would live under this kingdom forever in eternity, under the gracious care and rule of our Heavenly Father. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus, that He is our Lord and Master and King and Governor and Ruler, that He would come and rule and reign forevermore in the new heavens and the new earth. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, to life everlasting. Amen.